Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
3 days to Christmas. Can you believe it? 3 days to go here. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond. Welcome to The Inner Life. And as we wind down Advent, so glad to have you here during this hour that we dedicate to spiritual direction. We talk with a priest every single day here on The Inner Life. And you can always listen to us here on your terrestrial radio station, if you have that in your area, or otherwise on relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app. Now, when you think back for your childhood at Christmas, what's the earliest Christmas carol that you recall hearing and learning as a child? And I ask that knowing that we hear these songs every year, and so you, like me, you might find it hard to remember which Christmas songs were the very first ones that you heard as a child. But there are some of those Christmas carols that have strong memories for me. I think one of the earliest that we all hear as children possibly might be Away in a Manger. And this is one of the very first Christmas carols that I learned to play on the piano, actually. Very easy, very basic. It's in the key of F major, at least the one I learned was. Very good song for any child to learn how to play when they're starting out on the piano. But did you also sing then maybe in a school or a church choir as a child? At the school I went to when I was in first or second grade, one of those two grades there, I'm not sure which, but I do remember our school having us kids learn how to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. And we were to perform that as part of a Christmas concert that the parents would attend. Now, keep in mind, this was a public school that I went to, and we were singing a traditional Christmas carol about worshiping and adoring Jesus. And the school actually called the concert a Christmas concert. So much different back then compared to our politically correct society that we have now. But I remember the music teacher telling us about the chorus of O Come All Ye Faithful. It repeats that line three times at the end, O Come Let Us Adore Him. And the music teacher instructed all of us 6 or 7 or 8 year old children, however old we were around that age, told us how we were supposed to sing the chorus. We were supposed to start very soft on the first time of singing, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. And then on the second time, we'd sing it a little louder at a medium kind of volume. And then for that final and third time of singing, O Come, Let Us Adore Him, we were supposed to sing it loudly. It was supposed to be this glorious crescendo to the last three words of the chorus, those words that identify who we are to come and adore, Christ the Lord. And I remember thinking how our little choir, oh, we really nailed that build up to volume, you know, for singing that song. But now as a parent with my own children, I've been to numerous school music concerts. And I have to imagine that if I could go back and look at myself now, be there for that, that we children, we probably sang too soft on the first line of O Come Let Us Adore Him. Soft enough that it was probably hard for the parents to actually hear us. And then we likely sang the second line about as well as any other average school choir. But by the time we sang that third line, almost certainly we were just yelling the words, and we were more interested in making sure that we were loud rather than worrying about staying on key with the melody. But even to this day, every time I'm at Mass or in some other group setting and we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, I still sing the chorus in that same manner that our music teacher taught us so many, many years ago, starting soft and gradually growing in volume on that refrain. And it's one of my favorite Christmas carols. It calls us to come before Jesus. O come all ye faithful. Are you one of the faithful? Are you joyful and triumphant because you're a friend of Jesus, because you know him? Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. Today on The Inner Life, we want to take this hour and look at some of these traditional Christmas songs that we sing, how they can draw us into a deeper understanding of Christmas and the celebration of Jesus' birth over 2,000 years ago. And I hope that you'll call in with your favorite Christmas songs, what they mean to you, how they've helped you to know and love Jesus even more. And if there's that line in one of those songs that really, really speaks to you, what is it? And we'll open up the phone lines early here today, and you can call in at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And joining us for the hour is our spiritual director, Father Joseph Johnson, is back with us once again. Father Johnson is a priest in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, and he is the pastor of Holy Family Catholic Church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Father Johnson, so glad to have you back here during these final few days of Advent. Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Good to be with you. This home stretch to the great celebration. Yes.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, well, and before we jump into any other specific songs, maybe we can just talk about the place of music in worship in a general sense. I remember years ago, I don't know, this is probably 15, 20 years ago, I heard a line, and I've heard it several times since, and it's usually attributed to St. Augustine, saying, "The one who sings prays twice." And it's this kind of idea that when we take words of praise or adoration, and we might refine those words into poetic meter, and we put those words to a melody, we end up elevating those mere words to something far more. And so music has a special place in worship. Of course, music permeates our lives in all kinds of other ways too, but it really does help us elevate what we're trying to express when we're able to bring it in song.
Music is incredibly powerful. You know, people find that, scientists study that, you know, unborn child in the womb hearing music already, it helps to develop their mental faculties. There have been studies that have said, you know, that little children in the womb hearing classical music come out happier and smarter. You know, it's all sorts of things that we don't even realize, that a passive exposure to music affects us so much. You know, and certainly we see that culturally, you know, that when it's your birthday, people don't just say, "Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you." You know, they sing it, right? Because there's something of joy, something of love that comes out, that wells up past a spoken word to singing. The scriptures speak repeatedly about music, music in heaven, the choirs of angels singing, music, you know, King David dancing before the Lord. You know, all of these ways that music is powerfully a part of our natural life and our supernatural, our spiritual life. So that's what we come with, that as kind of context. But the reality is, when you walk into church, you have to shift gears. 99%, maybe 99.9% of the time we hear music, it's as entertainment. You know, it's we hear it and it's there and we enjoy it, you know, and it affects us in a particular way. And so sometimes people get frustrated with music in church because I can't tap my toes to that, or I don't enjoy it. And you have to go, wait a minute. The purpose of music in church is not entertainment. It's not there to simply for your enjoyment. It's there for prayer, right? Why do we go to church? Because we're entering into worship. And so some music that people say is, well, it's boring or I don't like it, actually, if you have an open mind and an open heart, that music is geared at moving your soul towards contemplation and not entertainment. But because that's such a radical shift from every other time we hear music, it's sometimes difficult for us to grasp that. Now, Christmas music has a wonderful, many of our favorite Christmas pieces have a wonderful way of both capturing that joy that is in this great season and leading us to prayer. As you said, come, let us adore him, right? So that's the great news of this season. You know, now, obviously, it's the reason why Jingle Bells is a very happy song. And you could say it captures the joy of the season, yes, but we don't sing it in church because it doesn't help us pray. Whereas Come Let Us Adore Him does help us to pray, does help us in that worship of God. So that's kind of where we've got to just kind of see the whole lay of the land with music before we jump into seeing now what can we tease out of individual pieces.
Sure. Well, you know, as you're talking about how the music we experience at church, at Mass, is meant to draw us in so that we do meditate and contemplate those moments, whether it's, you know, something in the life of Christ, which most of them probably will be pointing to something like that, or maybe some sort of theological teaching, you know, some idea that it makes maybe more accessible, or it's just simply praise and adoration given to God. But let's talk a little bit about also poetic license and artistic imagery, because I mentioned the song Away in a Manger, and as a child, I remember singing the second verse of that song where it says, "The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes." And as a child, I had the thought, wow, Jesus was so perfect, God and man, as this little baby, that he was never fussy, he never cried. That's unbelievable. It's amazing. But, you know, as I got older, I realized, well, it's talking about just this kind of idyllic image of that night there, Christmas night when Jesus is born. But the song, it's not trying to put across some historically accurate representation or description of the events there on Christmas. It's just meant to help us imagine what it might have been like. And it's actually all the rest of the lines that follow that part, the rest of the second part of verse 2 and the third verse, that really should be the focus, because that's where it says, "Be near me, Lord Jesus, stay close by me forever, take us to heaven to live with thee there." You know, all of those things. And I guess I'm saying we don't want to get so analytical that we lose focus of what the main theme or the main message of any of these Christmas hymns or Christmas carols might be.
Absolutely. It's painting a picture. You said that, you know, no cry does he make. You know, this is artistic license. You said it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable, and our faith doesn't ask us to believe it because the reality of Jesus' human nature is, of course, as a child he cried. You know, did Mary have to get up in the middle of the night and nurse him or change his dirty diaper? Absolutely. Absolutely. But that doesn't in any way diminish the beauty of the carol, because it is, as you said, it's painting a picture. It's helping us ponder a mystery. It's not a historical description of every aspect of what the nativity was like. And just like when you see images of the stable and the manger and all this, you know, you want to be really evocative. You start talking about the smells. You know, I've been in a number of stables, and you know, it doesn't smell like incense. Maybe that incense was really a practical gift after all. You know, to help disguise the other smells you normally encounter in a stable. You know, but again, it's not about this stark, you know, description of every reality. You know, the prickly straw, the whatever. It's about helping us to enter the mystery, and the mystery of the Prince of Peace being born. I think is maybe with that he's not crying out, that you maybe, yeah, it's a still night, it's a calm night, it's a silent night, right? And it's the Prince of Peace amidst all of the turmoil of the world. He's coming, and Jesus is going to bring us peace. You know, not peace from every war and all that, but an interior peace, a spiritual peace, a peace with God by our sins forgiven. You know, the peace of knowing ourselves loved infinitely by God to face whatever challenges come forward, the peace of his providential care. You know, I think those are the things that the poetry is trying to help us enter into.
our spiritual director this hour, Father Joseph Johnson, as we're talking about Christmas carols, Christmas hymns, the songs that we sing every year at this time. And what about you? Do you have a favorite Christmas song that helps you celebrate the birth of Jesus? Maybe there's that one line or that one phrase, that one lyric that really has spoken to you. And maybe it doesn't even feel like Christmas is complete until you hear that song. And you can call in and share with us, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And so, Father, how about yourself? Do you have an all-time favorite Christmas hymn or Christmas carol?
Well, you know, as you were talking about Away in a Manger, that's one that I plunked out on the piano as a youngster, not very well, but certainly I have vivid memories of sitting on that hard piano bench and figuring those notes out. But I have to say, probably, my favorite is O Holy Night. You know, there's something of, you know, again, that entering into the mystery that I think that powerfully captures. And as you talk about that crescendo, come let us adore him.
Right.
So this, you know,
the fall on your knees.
Holy Night.
And, yeah,
exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. You know, it has those great moments of diminishment and those great moments of crescendo and yes, and just kind of grips you and takes you into it. And it's why when I talk to our choir, I always say the greatest compliment people can give you singing is when you're done singing, you finish that last note, it lingers in the air and isn't interrupted by applause, but rather by this silence, because it means you have moved people interiorly, you've moved their hearts to contemplation, and they just want to sit in that moment and absorb it. And O Holy Night for me is one of those great pieces that does that.
Mm, I love that. So we're talking with Father Joseph Johnson here on The Inner Life and talking about our favorite Christmas hymns, our favorite Christmas carols. What's yours? What's that song that really speaks to you? Maybe it's a specific line in the song, and you can call in and join the program and share your favorite Christmas song, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. And we'll continue talking with Father Johnson in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today, we'd like to thank Norbert, who's listening in Wisconsin, for donating his Jeep. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car today.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns and lonely.
It has kind of a haunting beauty to that song, doesn't it? Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel. Welcome back to The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond, our spiritual director today, Father Joseph Johnson, a priest in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, pastor of Holy Family Catholic Church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. And today, talking about our favorite Christmas carols, Christmas songs, those that really help us to embrace and celebrate, to go deeper into the birth of Jesus. And what's your favorite Christmas song? Is there one line or phrase out of that song that really has spoken to you and really helped to open up the meaning of Christmas, of Christ coming into the world, that there is peace on earth, and God has brought that about by the birth of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ? You can call in and join us here on the program, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father, that song, O Come Emmanuel, that we just heard there, that's probably one of the most famous Advent songs that we sing in the church, and it has many lines that come from or reference different parts of the O Antiphons that the church has been praying since December 17th and will pray through tomorrow evening. Can you explain, if somebody's not familiar, what are the O Antiphons?
You know, it's always a great question. People say, what are these? And you go, well, oh boy, it's almost Christmas. You know, but they're titles of the Messiah that the church has placed in these last days of Advent. You know, that at Vespers, at evening prayer each night for these last days, we have an antiphon for the Magnificat, the Canticle of Mary, right? And that Magnificat antiphon is one of these O antiphons. So these titles that we are taking from the scriptures referring to the promised Messiah, you know. And so this is really the perfect Advent hymn because it is liturgically based and it captures the prophecies and that sense of longing, you know, oh come, you know. That's what Advent is all about, is preparing us, you know. And it's great, we talked about the power of music. It's really something wonderful that it used to be creeping up to Thanksgiving, now it's all the way to November 1st. You know, a secular radio station in most large cities will switch their programming, and for almost the entirety of 2 months, that's almost a sixth of the year, they're going to play Christmas music. And yes, some of it's going to be Frosty the Snowman and you know, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer or whatever, but it's all still the impact of the incarnation in some way or another. And even though liturgically speaking, you know, as a purist, it's like, it's all wrong.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas begins on December 24th at night, you know,
right.
and moves forward from there, whereas all these radio stations will chop it off midnight of December 25th. You know, that night, they're going to stop and go back to their regular programming. You know, they got that wrong. But what they've got right is there's still something so powerful about our Savior's birth that it still can transform even very secular venues. And even though, again, it's not a religious text and it's not, you know, meant for singing in church, all of this music flows from this celebration. And we have to recognize that and appreciate that, even though you and I, for our spiritual benefit, we need to rediscover Advent and this sense of longing that O Come, Emmanuel powerfully portrays. And there's a sober spirit of Advent. If you don't prepare, you don't celebrate as well. And instead, we celebrate from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and then we get to the actual celebration, and we're exhausted from all the celebrating we've already done.
Right.
and it's a bomb, right? You know, we open presents, all that, and they go, glad that's over with, right?
Yeah.
So we've got to spiritually get back to it, and O Come, Emmanuel helps to focus that.
Wonderful. Again, our phone number, if you'd like to call in with your favorite Christmas hymn, your favorite Christmas carol, one that really has spoken to you and helped you to celebrate in a deeper way the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Savior, the Messiah, into the world. Our studio line, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father, we've got Sandy who's listening to us in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Sandy. Thanks for calling into The Inner Life. What's your favorite song?
Well, growing up in the Lutheran Church, I've been Catholic for 30 years, but growing up in the Lutheran Church in kindergarten on Christmas Eve, we were so small we had to stand on the pew and turn around and face the congregation, and we sang Away in the Manger. I can remember that like yesterday. And then the other memory is that they had like four or five choirs. Well, they all lined up to come in singing O Come All Ye Faithful, and we had a tunnel that connected the church to the school. So we were way down in the tunnel because we were way at the end, and everyone had candles, and I was always afraid someone was going to catch on fire. But every time I hear, O Come All Ye Faithful, I'm back in that tunnel, waiting to march in.
Wonderful memories.
So those two.
Yes, and just, again, the power of music that kind of sears these memories in our minds, that they come flooding back with such a vividness, like worrying about who's going to catch on fire. You know, I always tell people, liturgy is a sloppy business. You know, it can be dangerous with flames and smoke and all sorts of things going on. But there is something wonderful about those childhood memories, the innocence of that, and how that music touched our souls and drew us closer to the Lord that way. Oh, thank you, Sandy, for sharing that with us.
Yep, glad to have you as a part of the program. And let's go to Michelle. Michelle is listening in Kelowna, Illinois. Hi, welcome to the program, Michelle. What's your favorite Christmas song?
It's called There's a Song in the Air.
And so, what,
I don't know that one. Yeah,
I remember this. I grew up Baptist, and I remember singing it in our church. What stands out about that song for you, Michelle?
Oh well, it just explains what's happening. You know, it goes, there's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's low cry. And it goes on, and the star rains its fire while the beautiful thing for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. And there's the other verses. It's beautiful.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks. That's great. I'm going to have to look that one up. And see, Josh, in this one, the baby did cry, right?
I know. Yeah, yeah. We've got disparity between our Christmas carols. So.
Uh-huh. No, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and thanks, Michelle, for calling in. Again, if you'd like to call in with your favorite Christmas carol, your favorite Christmas hymn, and why is it your favorite? What's that line or that phrase? What is it that speaks to you, that helps you to enter in to meditating, reflecting, to imagining yourself there, maybe as one of the shepherds, maybe as one of the magi, the wise men, traveling to see this newborn king, maybe being out there and seeing the angels that are just filling the sky and singing In Excelsis Deo, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. So many different aspects of that. What speaks to you in one of those songs? 888-914-9149 is the number to call in, 888-914-9149. And Father, let's go to, looks like Dave is calling in from Bolingbrook, Illinois. Hi, Dave. You're on the air with Father Joseph Johnson.
Thank you. I tell you, my favorite song is a new song, relatively new song. I don't know how many people who are listening right now might relate to this one, but if they've had kids or grandkids in their schools, especially high schools or colleges, a new song came out about 10, 15 years ago. It's called All Is Well, okay? And it's a beautiful ballad with all the words that we're used to in Christmas in it, but done in a new way. And as I said, I just went off to our Bennett Academy here in Lyle, Illinois. They had their band and music program and singing all together. And they have these ways now, I don't know if you've gone to programs recently, where in the auditorium they have different places left and right and behind you and all over the place singing it. It's a wonderful thing. And when you hear this song, All Is Well, you feel all encompassed by what's going on. I'm getting goosebumps right now just talking to you about it. But would you like me to sing a couple lines of it?
Yeah, go right ahead, Dave.
Go ahead. It goes like this. It goes, All is well, all is well, heaven and earth rejoice. He is come, Emmanuel. And it goes on and on like that. And it goes in different ways. It's just very powerful. So that's the one that, as I said, makes me tingle right now.
Thanks, Dave. And it sounds like it's a surround sound without the need for technology, right? That the kids are all around you in the auditorium. You know, that's wonderful. I'm learning some new songs that I'm going to have to look up.
I know
my own school has
its
Advent concert this afternoon, so I'm going to have to see if any of these are going to be sung by our kids.
Dave, thanks for calling in and sharing. And let's go to Bob, who's listening in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, Josh. How are you?
Good. Yeah. What's your favorite Christmas song?
Good. My favorite song has always been Silent Night. It's what we all learned or most of us anyway, when we were children, after we learned Jingle Bells and Up on the Housetop, we learned Silent Night. And the meaning of that is the nativity. To me anyway, it's describing that nativity and how silent it was when we went from year zero to year one. I mean, never in history have we had one person stop and then start time. We changed. And that night, being silent as it was, it's like we were waiting and waiting and waiting for this to happen. And then it restarted with Jesus. And, you know, with the cattle are lowing and the manger and the shepherds and the star, and it just describes that nativity and how important that night was to everyone for all time.
You know, I love your meditation on time. That's great to think of. And in a way, the silence, the stillness of the night, you know, it's sort of like we talk about the incarnation as the high point of human history. Everything before was building up to the coming of Jesus. And everything since flows from the impact of his life, death, and resurrection. So it's sort of like if you're going to change direction on something, you have an object in motion, it has to kind of slow down and gently kind of come to a place where it can then reverse direction. And so I kind of like that when you talk about time, that silent night is where everything that was building just kind of slowly comes, not to a big crashing crescendo, but comes this moment from which then, like almost like you've been pushing it uphill, and then boom, now everything comes flowing, rushing down from that moment that everything has changed. I'll appreciate that when I hear Silent Night now. Thank you.
Bob, thanks for the call. And again, if you're listening and you'd like to call in with your favorite Christmas carol, your favorite Christmas hymn, and maybe it's one or two lines of that really have spoken to you, you're welcome to join the program as we talk with our spiritual director, Father Joseph Johnson. The phone number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can also email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Have a few open phone lines, a lot of people on the line right now, so we'll try and get to as many calls as we can. Coming up next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond, and this is one of my favorite Christmas songs. This is actually, it was originally a poem written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and he wrote it during the midst of the American Civil War. If you don't know the story behind it, he had actually lost his wife in an accidental fire. And this was in 1861. 2 years later, his son, against his wishes and without even him knowing, his son ended up joining the Union Army. And that November of 1863, his son was severely wounded. And on Christmas Day in 1863, just a little, you know, a few weeks later, then Longfellow wrote this poem. And there's a lot that might not be communicated when you hear it sung, but there's a lot that is dealing with the Civil War. And so the words, I just thought I'd read them for you. It says, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the heart stones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Beautiful, beautiful poem, and even more beautiful when you get to hear it sung by someone with a brilliant voice. One of my favorites is Karen Carpenter. I think she just has a beautiful rendition of that song. Again, talking about our favorite Christmas songs, favorite Christmas carols, and things that speak to us that help us enter into that season of Christmas. What's that favorite Christmas song of yours? You can call in 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And we're talking with our spiritual director, Father Joseph Johnson, a priest in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And Father, before we go back to the phones, I know you mentioned O Holy Night. Any other favorites that stand out for you as far as Christmas songs?
Well, you know, I remember always Christmas at my home parish growing up in Dallas, where the midnight mass would begin with the procession into church, and the pastor would carry the image of the baby Jesus. Everything else at the manger was set up front and beautifully decorated with poinsettias around it, and all our Lady and St. Joseph and the shepherds and angels, they were all there. But Christmas didn't begin really until the pastor carrying up in the procession the little baby Jesus image. And as he did that, the children's choir, how they stayed awake at midnight. It was a struggle, I'm sure, for their parents to get them to take a nap earlier and all. But they sang "Once in Royal David City." And it's just such a gentle and beautiful hymn. And it just was that sense of that fulfillment that Bethlehem, the city of David, was receiving its king that had been promised and all. And for those who come from the Anglican tradition or who are fond of English church music, you know, one of the great traditions that spread around the world is this festival of lessons and carols that came from England, from King's College, Cambridge. And they always start that with "Once in Royal David City." And the way it begins is they have this very famous boy choir, and then they have the men. But the boys, one of the boys we'd chosen to sing the first verse all by himself, and nobody knows who it is until it's time for the procession to begin. The choir master will just point, "You." And all of a sudden,
and you're on the spot.
Entire world by the radio is listening, and your voice, you're hoping, isn't going to crack as you sing this piercing, beautiful a cappella, no accompaniment, first verse of "Once in Royal David's City," and then the rest of the boys come in for the second verse, and then the men for the third verse, and usually the whole congregation for the fourth verse, and it just kind of builds in that way. But I like this hymn because, of course, it reminds me of my childhood parish, but also this sense that any one of us could just be chosen to announce Christ at any moment, and we have to be prepared for it. And I was thinking, as some of our listeners today have been singing a couple lines of their favorite Christmas carols, you know, I can't do that. You know, all of your listeners would tune out immediately if I started singing. But we could have a Catholic's Got Talent show on Relevant Radio as well from all the wonderful singing. But you know, it's that way that each one of us, though, is called in our own way, in our own circumstances, to announce the coming of Christ.
You know, also on that idea of singing, Katrina wrote into us and she said, you know, just an idea for sharing one of your favorite Christmas hymns. Why not call a family member or a friend who is alone or maybe in a nursing home for this Christmas, and you could either sing the hymn or play it on a musical instrument, which I think is a beautiful idea too. So thanks for writing in with that suggestion. Father, let's go back to the phones. We've got Marianne who's listening to us in Texas. Is it Edinburgh or Edinburgh, Texas there, Marianne?
It's Edinburgh.
Okay.
Edinburgh.
Okay, well, you're on the air. Yeah. Thanks for calling in. What's your favorite song?
My favorite song is has always been, since my nephew was, I think, a year old, we took him to midnight mass. Can you imagine a one-year-old at midnight mass? He was fussy. And then in the middle of it, there was this little boy with a drum, and he played all the way up to the altar.
Oh, no, Marianne, we just had you cut out there. We heard you.
Hello?
Yeah, we heard you say that there was a boy who played a drum all the way up to the altar, and then you cut out. Try
all
again
the way
for
up
us.
To the altar. Yeah, all the way up to the altar, and my nephew just stood there watching and listening. And it just, every time I hear that song, I remember that moment. But even more now that we listen to it, he's 30 now, and we listen to that song, but it talks about the gifts that people can bring when we think we have nothing, that we can bring something to God and to Christ without even having to spend anything. You have the talent that he gave us, and just showing it to him is such a beautiful thing. And so many people spend so much money and go into so much debt that, you know, I think that that's one of the most amazing things about that song, that it can pertain to family and to Jesus Christ himself if we can bring him ourselves. So I'm, you know, that's one of my favorite songs. And it makes me cry every time I think about it when he says, just me and I have no gift for you, just me and my drum. And there's no just about that, right? Because it's an amazing gift that you were given.
Yes. Yeah, we all can bring something to the Lord, you know, and that's the key. It doesn't have to cost money. It has to cost love, right, to give from our hearts to the Lord. You know, I think as you talk about your son watching this, it also reminds me that, you know, Christmas carols appeal, have such a wide appeal, but they're also, there's something that even people like me that aren't good singers, we can all participate in them. They're so familiar, and so many of them, I mean, some of them are really difficult, but many of them, they have a singable melody with them. So I think in churches, I think we have better singing, you know, for the Christmas season than any other time of the year. But it's also a great opportunity for families to be able to, you know, turn off the TV, you know, set the phones aside. You know, what did families used to do before all this technology? They'd sit around the piano in the living room and they'd sing throughout the year. But maybe at least this time of year, even if we don't have a piano or someone that can play it, you know, we can just print off a couple of lyrics from the most familiar Christmas carols and just sing those together. And there's just such a sense of peace and of love that comes through.
Thanks so much for calling in, Marianne. And again, we've got one open phone line right now. If you'd like to join the program with your favorite Christmas hymn or Christmas carol, one that has a line that speaks to you, that really helps you celebrate the birth of Jesus, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father, let's go to Arlene, who's listening in Naperville, Illinois. Arlene, thanks for calling in. What's your favorite Christmas song?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. My favorite Christmas song this year and last year was probably the first time I heard it. Mary, Did You Know?
And so what speaks
have
to you?
You
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm very familiar. I don't know, Father, are you familiar with that song?
Yes, yes. It's a contemporary piece, yes.
That's right. Yeah, so Arlene,
yes,
what speaks to you in that song?
Well, yes, it's very contemporary. There's a one by Clay Aiken and another one I've heard by a man named Jordan, and it's really dynamic. The first set of words is, Mary, did you know that one day your boy would walk on water? And it goes on from there. I don't know all the other lyrics, but it just really makes me cry. And it's I heard it in a grocery store this year and thought, I got to go home and Google that and hear it again. So that's my favorite. Mary, Did You Know?
Wonderful. It is very soothing, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Arlene. And Father, we're getting a little short on time, but I think we can get a couple more phone calls in here. Let's go to, Jim's been holding a long time listening in Tinley Park, Illinois. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling into The Inner Life today. You're on the air.
Good morning, Father. Good morning, Josh, and Merry Christmas. One of my favorite songs is We Three Kings of Orient Are. And the reason is when I hear that story of how these three men traveled, they were in positions of authority, they were in royalty, but yet they put aside any jealousy or any negativity. They wanted to go see who this king was and give him honor. And it makes me feel like they had humility. And when I hear that, it makes me want to be humble as well. And the last few words of the refrain is God's a star of wonder, star of might, lead us to your guiding light. And what way, better way to get led to God's guiding light, which is his love, other than humility? And then the last part I want to add is when they return from their journey, they're told to go by a different route. And you know what? They trusted in the Lord 100%. They never questioned it or doubted it. And what I try to do is whenever I have a journey, something I have to approach that's difficult, that kind of makes me think of them as well and just trust in the Lord.
Fantastic. Yes, and it's a great, great carol that explains the significance, the deep theological symbolism of those gifts they bring. And we always sing it here at Epiphany, so I know probably Josh will dive into that one as we get further into the Christmas season, go towards Epiphany.
Yeah, well, you know, another one of the songs that also has a lot about the wise men, about the Magi and their traveling. And I really hadn't thought about it until I started, you know, preparing for this. And of course, I knew the lyrics, but the first Noel. And it starts off, there's the angels, there's the shepherds, there's a star. And then it really, almost the whole rest of the song past that first verse or maybe one and a half verses, it really focuses on the Magi following the star, coming and seeking the newborn king. And I really hadn't put, and that's, I think, melodically, you know, just the beautiful music that you have with the first Noel, that really stands out for me. It is one of my favorites. Father, we're down to just a couple minutes left here, but let's try and get one more caller on. And let's see, we've got Jane, who is listening in San Diego. Hi, Jane. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air here on The Inner Life.
Hi, Father. Oh, I just wanted to tell you my favorite Christmas song is Away in a Manger. I grew up in the late 30s and 40s back in the Midwest and large family, and my parents observed the tradition of Christmas doesn't begin till Christmas morning. We all had to go to bed, and they put up the tree. They did everything after we went to bed. We never realized it at the time, but I can remember on Christmas morning with our manger and my mother singing that song, and it just reminds me of the humility of God. We were very humble people. We never had much, but just thinking about the humility that our God is so great to humble himself to become like we were. It was always meaningful to me all my life. That's why that's my favorite song.
Well, thanks. That was Josh's way. We started with that, and now we end with it. It's a great song
to
contemplate.
Yes. Yeah. You know, Father, a couple other songs I might mention here, too. I think every Christmas Mass or, you know, Vigil Mass that I've been to, I always have heard two songs. One is Angels We Have Heard on High. There's the Latin phrase that the angels sang out on Christmas night, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. The other one is Joy to the World. And I don't know if there's a more energetic or jubilant Christmas song than Joy to the World, but those are two songs that I seem to hear every single Christmas Mass. And
absolutely. Usually they get belted out. Hark the Herald Angels is another one that's popular.
Right.
But they're all wonderful, wonderful hymns. So great musical power that this season has unleashed to help us hopefully experience, no matter what the challenges are in the world around us, the peace and the joy of knowing Jesus' love right there to get us through all the tough times.
Father, I appreciate you so much being here with us and helping us share this time of looking at the Christmas music that we have in our church and in our culture. We've got about 20 seconds. Could I ask you to offer a blessing to all of our listeners as we conclude the hour?
May you have a grace-filled end of Advent, and may Almighty God bless you and all your listeners in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Joseph Johnson, Thanks so much for being with us. Of course, stay tuned. We'll have Mass coming up here in about 40 seconds. And coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk about how we can have a truly Catholic Christmas. What does that mean? What entails a Catholic Christmas? We'll talk about it tomorrow with Father James Kubicki here on The Inner Life. Have a blessed rest of your day.